Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm glad you're here. Jim Ballard is here. He's our guest and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author and co-author of dozens of books. But the first one that I found out about him that he had written is called What's the Rush, which is still one of my favorite books. He's also wrote Mind Like Water, also Little Wave, Old Swell, and on. His books have sold something under a billion copies galactically, and he's our good friend Jim Ballard. Welcome back to the show.
I love that. Something under a billion.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth, isn't it, Jim?
Sure it is, yeah. That's the power of words.
It is powerful, isn't it? You know, I'm glad you... I know that's what you want to talk about today. I told the audience you want to talk about words. I believe that too many people don't value the power of words, and too many small business owners don't. When they're doing marketing, when they're doing advertising, whatever, they don't take the time to focus on the power of words. Jim, I think words in certain applications, I think words are worth fussing over.
Well, I do too, and there's so much hurry and so much chatter and insincerity and deception around us that we really have to quiet ourselves to get beyond it. And you and I have talked so often about the need for reflection and solitude. And if there's something you need to say to somebody, whether positive or negative, because we're going to talk about both of those today, or in arranging how you want to appear to customers or mm-hmm. to others, like you say in advertising, you need to find that place in ourselves that knows what we really want to say. And that takes some quieting down and some listening.
Well, we also need to, don't we need to try on our words? You know, women have this thing that they do, Jim, when they go shopping for clothes. They have this term that they use, and they all know that they do, and they'll admit this. They'll say, "This looks good on."
Yeah.
And I always thought that was an odd thing for them to say until I went shopping, you know, with a woman for the first time. And I recognized that there were two things that were hanging on the rack. They both looked good, but one of them didn't look good when she put it on. The other one did.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have this thing about it looks good on. I think we should try on the words that we're going to use with other people. What do you think?
Right. Well, sure. Field test them. Find out how they sound and feel to other people. Yeah, I agree with that.
So
and
what do you...
You know, I was gonna say that words, just to go a little deeper, words can make us feel good or make us feel small. They can give us courage. They can make us feel fearful. And even when we read speeches from the past, we can be moved by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at an article that it contained a little quote from President-elect Obama from a speech that he made back in January when there was victory in Iowa in the nomination.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he said these words. Now listen how simple they are. You know, they said this day would never come. They said our sights were set too high. They said this country was too divided, too disillusioned to ever come together around a common purpose. But on this January night, at this defining moment in history, you have done what the cynics said we couldn't do. We are one people, and our time for change has come. So whether you like Obama or not, or what he stands for, words that bring us together like that can be very powerful. And I think that, you know, that what we've just experienced and the fact that that he's to be our next president our testimony to the fact that this is one person who has taken time to think about the power of words.
Do you think he wrote those words, or do you, and I want to make a point here. Do you think he wrote those words, or do you think someone wrote them for him?
I have no idea.
My point, Jim, is whether he did or didn't. Let's say he had a speechwriter. Yeah. That's a lesson. For those small business owners who are listening to us right now, and they're saying, "Look, I'm a business owner. I'm not a wordsmith like you are, Ballard." Take a lesson from Obama and from Bush and from Clinton and from Reagan, and find somebody to write your words if you need to.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. And when you're doing it, I think don't be satisfied with whatever they put out.
Right.
Because here's what I'd like everybody to do who's listening, and you too, Jim, is think back to a time when someone said something to you that positively changed your opinion about something or deeply affected you or even changed your view about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And probably it wasn't fancy or designed to sell or appeal to sentiment. Likely it was very plain spoken and direct and simple and truth-telling.
Here's one.
Okay.
Occam's Razor.
Yeah, what is that?
William Occam was a friar. He was a priest in England 600 or 800 years ago, and he had this little thing that he said that has now been called Occam's Razor because it cuts to the chase. He said basically the simplest solution is usually the best.
Oh, okay.
That's Occam's Razor.
You know, I just heard that term the other day, and I didn't know what it meant.
The simplest solution is usually the best.
Yeah, so this is what, when we get to the subject very soon about one of those confrontations that we have to have, we have to have words with someone, you know, we use that expression,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean fiery or fight.
Right.
But it does mean confrontation, that somebody has done, somebody's behavior has caused us a problem, and we need to approach them about it. And how we say it and what we say is so vital that I think there's an opportunity for us to give a sort of a martial arts approach to that that can be very, very powerful. And instead of off-putting or guilting a person, that it can restore a friendship, it can restore trust.
Redeem an employee?
Yeah, an employee. That's what I'm thinking about because in business, sometimes somebody will come in who's an irate customer, and the way that you handle it, the way that you turn it around, we call it a recovery, a successful recovery, that can turn that person into a cheerleader. They can go away and say, "Do you know what they did for me?"
I like the word redemption, Jim.
Me too.
I like that word, and recovery is a good word too. We come back. How do you diffuse a situation like that? Jim Ballard's got some ideas. I got one or two myself. You'll be surprised to learn. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. The first one is brand spanking new, only about a week or two old. Hope you'll check them out and use them to your advantage. Jim Ballard is our guest. He's all over our websites. He's deposited so much wisdom with us over the years, and we appreciate him very much. Jim, where's the best place to find all your books?
Oh, really? On Amazon, but you
okay.
can Google me.
Yep.
Either way, Jim.
James Ballard or Jim Ballard. Jim, I want to come back to this word redemption.
Okay.
Because that's a word the ministers use a lot, and I learned about that word from ministers. Redemption is an important word because you can redeem an employee, you can save them. You use the word recovery. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can save a situation. You can save a relationship.
Exactly.
So I was thinking about what you said a minute ago about a tough situation. So instead of going to somebody and saying, "You messed up. Why did you do that?"
Yeah.
You could say, "John, looks like we have a problem. What can we do to fix this?"
This is exactly right. And if we have something to convey to an employee or associate, whatever, whether it's positive or negative, and I want to end by a suggestion for a positive, it helps to rehearse it and write it out and work it over and make sure that it's exactly what we want to say.
And sleep on it.
The other part of it is that if we're approaching a person whose attitude or behavior is causing us a problem, the preparation work is often on ourselves, Jim. We need to subtract all the anger and resentment and remove the blame from the message that's right on the tip of our tongue. Because anger really sits, psychologists call anger a secondary emotion, meaning that it sits on top of something else, like fear or hurt or embarrassment. And so you need to dig down and get what you're really feeling first,
right.
And then set a goal of mutual understanding, so that even if you've been sore about the situation and you're inclined to want to inflict hurt or guilt the person, the outcome that you really want is to redeem it, as you said, to strengthen the relationship. And one way to do that is to write out and rehearse a two-part message. The two vital parts are, number one, a non-blaming description of what the person did or caused a situation. And think of a camera taking a picture or a microphone recording what was said so that it comes out exactly a description of what it is that you want to confront them about. And the second part is an equally scientific or dispassionate account of the results, how you were concretely affected by their behavior or how your business was. Because that will come through to them. If you show them how you have been hurt or the business has been affected by what they did, and this is for positive, too. It's interesting.
Right.
If we want to praise or recognize a person,
right,
we need to be very specific about what they did and very specific about the positive results, because that's what appeals to their heart. So you come to the conversation, just like you said, Jim, as if you have a problem you want to talk over with them as with a friend. And after you deliver that message, you should listen and say so, you know, and reflect back what they say. So a lot of times it comes out that you're saying something after listening like, so you really, let me get this straight, you weren't even aware that you had caused me this problem, and you're feeling kind of sorry about it. And this patches it up. This shows them that you're understanding their feelings of being put on the spot, too.
Jim,
you walk out of a situation like that, you can walk out arm in arm.
One of the best things that ever happened to me, when I worked for Xerox long, long time ago, decades ago, they taught me how to do two things that have really been a benefit to me. They taught me how to do self-analysis, and they also taught me how to role play. And what you just described was an internal role play. You role play it to yourself, and that is role playing is an incredibly powerful thing. And Jim, I said something a minute ago that I wanted to ask you about. Isn't the ability to sleep on something before you actually act on it, don't you think that's awfully powerful too?
Always the best idea.
To sleep on words.
Always the best idea. That's one I have problems with too, because I get convinced that I have the thing I want to do or say, and I want to jump the gun. But the times that I've waited and forgotten about it and then come back to it, then I find that I really know what I want to
do. There are a lot of things there are a lot of things in my life where there's always an exception. But I've never, ever regretted sleeping on something.
That's right, Jim. I want to also suggest that in this economy and coming up on the holiday season, that there's a way that we can use the power of words as gifts. You know, if we don't have a lot of money for stuff, we can make words into gifts.
Yeah.
And we can put small messages, very well thought out.
Handwritten
into messages to people of thanksgiving or of recognition or of friendship or of love.
I'm grateful for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Exactly. There may not be too many things in the world that don't change, but one of them is our friendship.
You know,
that's
Jim.
That's true for me and you, Jim.
Absolutely, Jim. Hey, Jim, I'm grateful for you. You make a difference.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Have a good one. And I appreciate you being here, as always. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another one. He's the best. 29 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.